Maybe. Yes, sir!
Welcome, everyone, to the You're Still Out Golf Podcast, part of the Sports Pros Network, where we're always talking sports, so let's start the conversation. I'm your host, Keith Needham, and I'm joined here by my co-host and resident golf sicko, Mr. Jonathan Till. Till, another fantastic, super-duper Hall of Fame interview on this one, bud.
You know, I feel like we do say that every time, like, oh, this is a special one, this is a really good one, but we are not lying, folks. We have got another awesome interview today. For folks who know me well, they'll know this, but some may not. I'm a very nonprofit charity kind of guy. I've worked my whole career in that, and so anytime we can combine a very, very worthy cause with the game of golf, I'm all about it, and that's definitely the theme overall of today's episode.
Yep, absolutely. And before we get to our guest, going to pay the bills around here, right? So have to show some love to our sponsor. And of course, that is Chalk Luxury Sports Bar, right? The YSO podcast championed by Chalk at 1324 West Memorial Road in Chisholm Creek Plaza. You can follow them on the web at chalkokc.com or follow them on Twitter and Instagram at ChalkOKC. Again, so much going on right now in the sports world, right? So we got college football, we got NFL, we got baseball playoffs around the corner, we got golf kicking back off, Till. So the unofficial, official start to the golf season coming back. No better place than to catch all your sports action, enjoy some good food, some good atmosphere. Always the favorite, that is Chalk Luxury Sports Bar. Well, Till, you want me to introduce the guest? You want to introduce the guest here?
Yeah, let me take a shot at it. Today we have a founder of the organization Golf for Africa. You'll hear us say it a few times. That's Golf, F-O-R-E, Africa. A Betsy King, LPGA Hall of Fame member. I knew she was awesome after diving into her career a little deeper. Wow, I didn't know the extent of her winning ways out on the LPGA Tour. We also have current executive director of Golf for Africa, Kendall Dye, joining us. She was a former OU Sooner player who had a great career as well on the Symetra and LPGA Tours. Golf for Africa, as you might imagine, is focused on bringing clean, fresh drinking water to over 200,000 people in rural Africa, and they're committed to kind of helping end what is really a global water crisis and doing that by 2030. So their organization focused on that need, and it's certainly a big one, and they've got a big event coming up to help fund that mission, and we're excited to have them on.
That's right, absolutely. The 405 Classic coming to Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club on Sunday, October 16th and Monday, October 17th. Going to be a lot of fun. The ladies talk all about it in this podcast. We talk about Golf for Africa. We talk about the event, and then we share some fun stories. We play a short par four with Betsy at the end. Really fun podcast on this one, isn't it, Till?
It was a good one, man. Without further ado, let's go ahead and hit play on our interview with Golf for Africa.
Oh, Jonathan Till, do we have a special, special podcast for the listeners here today? Some absolute golf royalty on the podcast today, J. Till. So we are joined by none other than LPGA Hall of Famer Betsy King and friend of the pod, former Sooner golfer Kendall Dye. And we're going to talk a little bit about some Golf for Africa, some stories from the LPGA Tour. It's going to be a lot of fun today, isn't it?
Excited about this one. So that our listeners kind of get a sense for voices, Betsy, we'll bring you in first. How are you this morning? And where are you located this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jonathan. I'm actually outside my hometown where I grew up, Reading, Pennsylvania, in the house I've lived in since I'm 8 years old. And so it's been fun to be back here. I live out in Scottsdale now, but occasionally I get to come back to Pennsylvania, and it's a great time to be here. Beautiful fall weather, and it sure beats the 100-degree temperature that's happening out in Scottsdale today. So I'm excited to be here and to be part of your telecast, too.
Well, we appreciate
podcast.
Appreciate you being with us. Kendall made us promise that it wasn't going to be a telecast, and she's just got off her her lawnmower. So, Kendall, welcome back to the program. How are you this morning, and what is your location?
Good to be back. I'm actually in Oklahoma City for a few hours. I had to sneak in my mowing job this morning. No other time to do it, so my hands are still shaking. But always good to be with you guys.
Oh, great stuff. Great stuff. Well, let's just jump right into it, lady. So, Betsy, I'll start with you. You know, tell us about the original trip to Africa, how it led you to founding Golf for Africa, and kind of the origin story, if you will, of this fantastic organization.
Sure. Keith, I played on the tour for 28 years and retired in the fall of 2005. And then in 2006, fall again, I went to Africa with a group of women that was hosted by World Vision. They're a huge Christian relief and development agency. They work in about 100 countries around the world. But the trip was so life-changing. I'd never seen poverty like that before, and particularly its effect on women and children. And so there were 12 women that were on that trip. And when we all got back to the United States, each of us in our own way said, we need to do something to make a difference, to address what we saw. And for me, I said, I'm going to start with a friend named Debbie Casada. I started a Golf for Africa. And our goal was to raise funds within the golf community to bring help and hope to Africa. And we've been able to do that. You know, I thought when I retired, I would kind of sit home for a little while, relax, you know, be with friends. And instead, I ended up in the last, 15, 16 years, I've made 25 trips to Africa and actually made a million miler on Delta now, which I didn't do when I was on the tour. So it's been a lot of travel, but it's been a lot of fun and really very meaningful. You know, every time we go to Africa, and Kendall can talk about that as well, we visit villages, both that have received clean water that we fund and others that have not yet. And the difference is so great that it just makes you want to come back and do more to help people. You know, everyone around the world, and including in Africa, mothers just want a better life for their kids. And by bringing clean water to a village, it really helps them to do that.
Well, Betsy, tell us, you know, talking about those early days, if you will, of Golf for mm-hmm. Africa, how did you decide how you were going to go about raising money for the cause?
Well, you know, one of the very first things we did was to have a game night where we played Yahtzee and other games, because one of the women on the first trip was from Hasbro, and that's what they make Yahtzee. And she was in charge of the Hasbro Foundation. But we kind of soon decided that we'd be better to do it within the golf community and to use golf to fundraise. So that's what we did. We started hosting golf events around the country and using LPGA professionals most of the time. And that makes it different. You know, golfers are very charitable. And I know you guys have probably played in charity outings. But the fact that we have professional golfers there, touring professional golfers there, it makes us somewhat unique for an experience for people to play. And it's been very successful. Kendall now heads us up. And this year we've hosted events in New York and North Carolina. We have one coming up in Oklahoma City and in Scottsdale. And then we also have hosted luncheons as well as the golf events. We've done a few non-golf events too, but it's been very successful and it's enabled us to help a lot of people in Africa, which is our goal.
Well, Kendall, Betsy mentioned that you're now running Golf for Africa, but tell us your entry point to GFA as a, I guess you'd say, participant. Give us just some context around that. I'm sure some of our pod listeners might remember that from you talking about it last summer when you were on, but tell us how you got involved, and then obviously tell us how it came about for you to be the executive director.
Yeah, so I moved out to Phoenix. You know, I graduated from Oklahoma in 2009 and tried 1 year of playing professional golf out of Oklahoma City. And, you know, there's not too many strong competitors at the country club to really hone in your game, plus the weather, plus the airport. So, and I actually chased a guy out to Phoenix. So that's kind of how it all happened. But I took a second to get on the LPGA tour. And when I finally did, a dear friend of mine, Mallory Blackwelder, who also got her card that after the season 2014, was a member at Pinnacle Peak Country Club in Scottsdale, where Betsy's a member, and invited me to play golf with Betsy. And so, of course, I'm going to say yes to that, because I went after every hero of mine my rookie year. I mean, I will never forget my first dinner with Julie Inkster, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I really sought them out. And I had heard about Golf for Africa through through the grapevine, through the pros of that Betsy took pros over to Africa. They funded Work for Water. She hosted really nice pro-ams at really great golf clubs, such as Golf Club Scottsdale, now Scottsdale National. So all of that piqued my interest. I never had time growing up to do a mission trip, and it just really piqued my interest. And I knew that that could kind of stretch me if I had that opportunity. And so after 18 holes with Betsy, I've always been a natural fundraiser, whether it was, you know, at elementary school to student council at Edmond Santa Fe High School, to my professional golf. I never had an agent, so I fundraised for my own self. I told her I could fundraise a well, and that's $15,000 for a village of about 300 people. And so I sent out an email to about 20 family members or pro-am partners or just friends, and they responded and helped me fund this well, and was able to go at the end of 2015 after my first rookie year with three other LPGA players, Cheyenne Woods, Christy McPherson, and Amy Olson, and was able to see the work. And of course, once you go over there, you're forever changed and you want to do more. And so Cheyenne had also funded a well on that trip. So we were also able to dedicate her well. And fast forward, you know, to 2017, I became a board member and a part-time fundraiser by wearing the hat and putting the logo on my bag while playing and helping recruit pros for pro-ams. And then, you know, I just felt a strong calling last summer. I was 34 at the time, and I just felt almost like a robot of, I think I'm done chasing the white golf ball. I'm ready to go to church every Sunday, or I'm tired of missing OU football games. Like I've got little nieces and nephews in Oklahoma City, and I just want to, I've missed out on a lot of weddings and just life, and it just passes you by. And I did get to achieve my little girl dream, but I was just ready for something different, to where I could have it all, where I'm still able to play great golf. I'm heading to Monterey on Sunday to host some donors for some really lovely golf. I don't necessarily miss living out of a suitcase, or worrying about money lists or cuts and stuff like that. I do miss my friends. I miss seeing them every day. I think I took that for granted the last 12 years, that I knew I was going to see them wherever we were in the world. I miss the caddies. I miss the staff. I miss the volunteers. I miss my host families. But we're able to do amazing work that's so rewarding. And so I'm able to kind of have it all now.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, you mentioned that life on the road, right? And we're going to ask you and Betsy about some stories from life on the road back in the day. But yeah, but to get to a relatively normal setting, right, is a big part of it as well. So no, can't appreciate that. But ladies, you mentioned Oklahoma City. You mentioned some really nice pro-ams and charitable events that you put on. You know, I'll throw this out here for both of you, but obviously, you know, we're having you on here to talk a little bit about the event coming up here in Oklahoma City next month, October 16th and 17th, the 405 Classic, to be held at Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club. So fantastic setting, fantastic golf course. Betsy, maybe I'll start with you, but you just kind of tee it up. Give us a general overview of what that event's going to be and what we're hoping to accomplish there.
The event will be a Sunday night dinner, and then Monday we'll be playing with the pros at Oklahoma City Country Club or Golf Club. Kendall knows more about it than me. Since this is in her backyard, she's kind of been the one that's really been putting in the time and organizing it. I mean, I'm going to be there. I've never been to Oklahoma City before, so I've been to Oklahoma, but not Oklahoma City, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're going to love it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's not a lot of pressure when you play. It's a scramble format. There's a pro in your group, and I think there's celebrities playing in this one as well. So, you know, if you're not a scratch player, it doesn't matter. You can still tee it up and have a lot of fun. And the interaction, and of course, it's all for a great cause. You're going to be helping to raise money for clean water in Africa. So we're hoping that we have our fields sold out. I think we're more than halfway there, but we're looking for a few more teams. So if you want to come out and play, that would be really helpful. And the dinner the night before will be really nice as well. And you can buy tickets for that too, and not necessarily play the golf the next day. So Kendall, what did I miss? You got to fill me in on some of the pros and celebrities. I know Julie Inkster is going to be there, and Amy Olson, and I think Laura Davies. Julie and Laura were big competitors of mine, you know, back in my days on the tour, and they're still playing on the senior at the senior level and doing really well. They're fun people. I mean, a lot of the golfers that come, at least the ones that we invite, are very, very nice, very friendly. They believe in our cause, and if you come out and play, you'll have a great time.
Well, Betsy, yeah, you're doing a great job. That was going to be one of my questions for really both of you, but directed at Kendall. And you already alluded to it earlier. You know, this isn't your run-of-the-mill, you know, charity scramble, right? This is a big league deal coming to Oklahoma City. So, Kendall, talk about, you know, a little more about the specialness of the format with the celebrities and the pros, and yeah, give us a little bit of a roster of who's coming to town.
Yeah, well, we're trying to talk Betsy into coming a few days even earlier because a lot of pros are coming in for the OUKU football game, and we've got a suite reserved, and so a lot of the girls are wanting to know what Oklahoma football is all about, so we're trying to talk her into it. She had a little injury, a big injury last year, so I think she's a little worried about walking the streets of Norman, but we're going to have a Sunday night dinner at the club, and we're going to have a small program about just sharing our story about what Golf for Africa is, because a lot of times on the golf day, it's more about the golf, and we don't have a whole lot of time to really dive deep into why we're all there. We'll have a pro Q&A, which we did last year at our Scottsdale dinner, and it went really well, just so that the whole crowd can get a piece of, say, Julie Inkster, who's been to Africa with us, and also just she's a lot of fun. Stuff like that. Music, auction, drinks, dinner. It'll be a great time. And then Monday we'll have breakfast and lunch, and we're going to actually do a little clinic while people are warming up with Betsy, or Betsy and I are going to MC it. But Julie Inkster and Laura Davies just off to the side of the range. So that'll be kind of cool for them to, you can see LD, you know, hit it off the turf with her driver. and then we'll do a 9-9 where each team will have an opportunity to play with an LPGA pro and then nine holes with a celebrity. So you, just like Betsy mentioned, we'll have Julie Inkster, Laura Davies, Amy Olsen, Stacey Lewis, Brittany Lipscomb, Brittany Lang.
Is Angela coming?
Angela Stanford from Fort Worth's coming. Actually, there were big names saying, we're coming. We want to come. We want to know what Oklahoma City is all about. We want to come to an OU football game. So I'm super excited that our friends have always supported us, but OKC has piqued their interest. And surely, I mean, October has always been our best weather month. So surely it'll be a beautiful fall day.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be perfect. And so we're just super excited to, the original thought was just to have a clinic, and OKC Country Club approved us to do a clinic. And then our colleague, Justin Lane is a member there. And so that kind of opened the door. So Scott Verplank's Foundation and Golf for Africa were the two approved. And word on the street is that OKC would desire to have a USGA women's event or an LPGA event one day. So if they can see how successful it is, and you know how much the girls appreciate the golf course, because after the renovation, I mean, it is in perfect condition. And you know, it's a little too short for the men to come, but if they want the women to come, we'll be there. So that's the big dream, but we're super excited to bring it into the 405 and raise a lot of money for clean water.
Who are the celebrities, Kendall? I know you have.
Oh, yeah. So Coach Bob Stoops, he was in from day one. And it is a little heavy on OU celebs right now, but we'll bring it in with some more Oklahoma State or maybe some Thunder folk. I know that Thunder plays, I think, two nights later for their first game. But I was just with someone last night who said he thinks he could get a couple characters in for that. Little Joe Washington, he's been a dear friend. He's in Betsy's era. He always comes whenever I see him. He comes and holds my hands that maybe he could get some short game magic. He's a great guy, a lefty. And Curtis Lofton, who's my year, big time linebacker, who's now back at OU coaching and part of the Soul program. Russ Ortiz, former MLB player. He actually lives in Scottsdale. So he comes to a lot of our Golf for Africa events and is also a donor. And a lot of our pros are donors. And I know that they get pulled every which way. And so that just means the world that they actually cut a check right back to us, or don't take their appearance fee money, or go to Africa and fund projects. So who else do we have? I'm drawing a blank. We do have the Oklahoma State Coach Kenny, the softball coach, who's actually Sooner.
Yeah.
Played baseball at OU, but at least I'll wear some orange for him. But we've got a whole laundry list, but it's going to be a great time. And I know that we have a lot of, golf is a big sport in Oklahoma. We have a lot of charitable fundraising golf events, but this one's just going to be a step up, because we're going to have those characters in, those Hall of Famers in, and it's at Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club.
Well, Kendall Betsky, I know you can't see Jonathan to my right here, but he was pointing at himself too as a celebrity who's going to be out there for the event. So I don't know if we qualify or not.
That is not true.
Yeah, you're still out. Podcast will be out there on the driving range. Our driving range sponsor. We're super excited to have them. Yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to have clubbies, drinks out there, out at the shack, out on 63rd Street. Rock and roll tequila. Bob Stoops has helped us there with Republic. So we're grateful for the support that we've received so far. And we're able to have 400 people at the Sunday night dinner. So
that's awesome.
It is open to whoever. The golf is definitely limited. It is an expensive event, but we are happy to have anybody and everybody for the dinner.
Okay.
So we need to go to the Golf for Africa website, right?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, perfect segue.
Yeah.
Tell folks, we're going to be posting this right at, I think, 3 weeks before the event. So still time to get involved, specifically in that Sunday night dinner. But just give us a few bullet points on how folks can still get involved and support the event.
Yeah, we're on all social media platforms, but golfforafrica.org, you can find in our events tab how to register. You can pay online or you can send in a check. We're easy to get a hold of and on all social media platforms.
And it's FORE Africa.
That's right. Yeah. You beat me to it, Betsy. I was going to say, you got the double entendre there, or so to speak, right? FORE in there. So well done by you guys. Yeah, but that's golfforafrica.org. Go up to the top of the page under events, and it'll kind of take you to the page that has the Oklahoma City event, as well as all the other events as well, right? So you mentioned Scottsdale being a prominent focus point. Got an event coming up there, I believe, later on this year as well, in December. Yeah. So good stuff. Well, ladies, let's transition to some LPGA stories, right? So, and Betsy, let's start with you. You know, got on the history pages, the wiki pages, if you will, and again, just an esteemed career LPGA Hall of Famer, 6-time major championship winner. But let's talk about the early days, right? So let's start at the beginning. You know, tell us about those first 7 years of your career before your first win. You know, what was life like on the LPGA Tour back then?
I graduated Furman in 1977, and then at that time they had 2 Q schools a year. So a guy was out of college about a year and then qualified for the LPGA Tour and started playing right away. And as you mentioned, it was almost 7 years before I had my first win on tour. I played other sports in college. I played field hockey 2 years, played basketball 3 years.
Wow.
I'm old enough that I wasn't on scholarship, you know, so they couldn't say, hey, you can't do this. You have to play only golf. And so really the first year that I ever played golf year round was when I was on tour. So, I needed to get more experience. I had played some junior golf, but not a lot. I played 2 U.S. juniors, but other than that, just played in Pennsylvania. And again, there wasn't a girls golf team when I was in high school, and I wasn't allowed to play on the boys team. And so I really was learning how to be a competitor, but I started working with a pro about 2.5 years into my career, and he made some swing changes that really helped me. And so I won a tournament in Japan about a year after I was working with him, and I kind of knew I was moving in the right direction. But 1984, March of 84 was my first win, and it was in Hawaii. And one of the things I remember was I had a 3-shot lead going into the last day, and it was televised on NBC. It was the Kemper Open. It was one of the bigger events on the LPGA Tour at the time. And I was with a friend at Mass on a Saturday night, and I turned to her and said, hey, what's the largest lead anyone's ever lost on national television? So that's how confident I was going into the last round. You just never know, you know, but, and every golfer has those thoughts, but you kind of put that aside when you're stepping over the ball, or, you know, even you step over it and go, okay, I'm not like, even I had one of the players ask me one time, well, what do you do? Like, you think, oh, I'm going to shank it. I say, well, then you go, no, I'm not. And then you hit the ball. But anyway, I won that first one, and it really just turned my career around because I won 2 more times that year. I was, you know, leading money winner, player of the year. And it is true that once you learn how to win, it makes a big difference. I thought that to win, I'd have to hit every shot perfectly for 4 days. And, you know, that's really not the case. It's amazing how many shots you miss. And it's a question about how you're still able to score. If you ask a pro when they're playing, okay, how many really good shots did you hit in that round? And literally it's about four or five that they say, oh man, I really tagged that. Or, you know, an approach shot, man, I hit that just the way I wanted to. I hit it pure and, you know, maybe they knocked it 2 feet or whatever. And so when you think about that, four or five shots around, it's just that the standard is a lot higher. You know, maybe as an amateur, you go, oh, if I hit the green, man, I really hit that well. I got it on the green. Whereas, you know, as a pro, you're talking about puring it and hitting it stiff or whatever, hitting it middle and just hitting it really solidly. So anyway, but it is true. Once you learn how to win, it makes it that much easier to win the second time.
Well, let's go there. And I would say by folks who know me, I'm a golf encyclopedia. And so I had certainly known about your career and its Hall of Fame status, but in digging a little deeper, the absolute, like a 5-year heater that you went on from 84 to 89, I think you won 20 times, including your first two major wins. What was that shift? You talk about learning how to win, right? But was there anything else that kind of fed into that torrid stretch of golf?
Me, I had to make some technical changes with my golf swing. I had the club really shut at the top, which, I mean, I still have it shut, but not as shut. And I was coming so much from the inside that my divots were going, you know, to the right of the ball. And I had kind of a big hook, or I blocked it. And so I had to get in a little bit more neutral position and get the divot going more down the line where, you know, I still hit a draw, but not a hook, you know, and that, and then I became a much better putter. I again made some technical changes with my putting stroke. And I mean, Kendall thinks I'm one of the best putters ever. And I don't know, I just built a lot of confidence. And it's kind of funny because I was not a good putter when I came on tour, and I became one. And even though I think putting, a lot of it's natural, like you can just kind of see the line in your head or you just have that feel, but I did have to develop a good technique. You need a good stroke too. And so once you have that, then you have to have the feel, et cetera. But I would say those were probably the biggest changes that helped me to be able to win. My best year was 1989. I won 6 times and I finished in the top 10, 20 out of 25 tournaments. So, you know, that was just a really consistent year where I felt, you know, I had a chance to win almost every week. And that's what you strive through it too, is on Sunday you tee off with a chance to win. It makes it kind of fun.
Yeah. That 89-90 stretch there, you know, I think, you know, Till will also tell you that he's a huge Tiger fan. I mean, that stretch there for that 1 year, you know, 18-month period, that was kind of, you know, Tiger-esque if we kind of relate it back to, you know, incredible stretch run it was. But, you know, we're big fans of team golf here on this podcast as well, Betsy. You played on 5 straight Solheim Cup teams from 1990 to 98. You captained it in 2007. You know, give us your best Solheim Cup story. You know, it's such a cool event and unlike anything else that we're accustomed to in golf.
Well, it's interesting because I was there at the beginning, and obviously it wasn't as big of a deal at the beginning. You know, it's just become bigger every time. But our first captain was Kathy Whitworth, and I was on a team with Beth Daniel and Nancy Lopez and Pat Bradley and Patty Sheehan. And I'm like, okay, these are the most competitive people I've ever met in my life. And the first team, it was only 8 players. Now it's expanded to 12. But I remember Kathy Whitworth, who's won 88 times, all-time winner on the LPGA Tour. And she's really funny, but she has on to herself, she was very negative in her talk when she'd be on the golf course, which is kind of funny. But that's the way what she used to motivate herself. But if she hit a bad shot, she'd go, Kathy, how'd you ever get your card? You're such a bad player. And I mean, she won 88 times. But anyway, so we're in that room at the first Solheim Cup, and she goes, now girls, if you don't really want to win this, you're not going to win. And I just thought to myself, okay, this is the most competitive group I've ever met in my life. I don't think you have to worry about us wanting to win. And I was paired with Beth Daniel, and we played at Furman together for 3 years. And, you know, we both made it into Hall of Fame. So I always say we're the best 1-2 college players that ever played, you know, together. And Beth and I, our games were very similar in terms of how we hit the ball, how far we hit the ball. And so it was very easy to play together, you know, in the alternate shot. And we're playing Laura Davies and Allison Nicholas. And you know, I remember it on the best ball, one hole, you know, one of us hits it there 3 feet and the next person hits it in there 6 inches, you know, so we both have, you know, really birdie. And Allison Nicholas, I saw a quote in the paper where she said it was like playing God and God. And, and I mean, I'm a strong Christian, so that's kind of sacrilegious, but I'll take it. It was kind of funny at the time. So
love it. Love that. Well, 1995, a big year, World Golf Hall of Fame induction. Just an unbelievable honor, obviously. I'm curious, do you remember kind of where you were and who gave you the news that you were going to be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, the LPGA is different. Then when I got in, it was you had to win 30 tournaments with two different majors. So I knew as soon as I won my 30th tournament that I was in.
Okay, so a qualification kind of
thing. Yeah, I didn't have to wait for a phone call. Now it's changed a little bit. It's still a point system, but they give points for player of the year and leading money winner, and they've lowered the point total. I was the tour started in 1950. I qualified in 1995 for 45 years. I was the 13th player that qualified for the Hall of Fame. So we were looked at as being the hardest Hall of Fame in all of sports to get into. I mean, 13 players in 45 years. Wow. So, after that is they changed the regulations and made it a little bit easier to get in. And now there is, once you're retired, there's also a voting way to get in. But anyway, so I won my 30th event in Atlantic City, not about 2 hours from where I grew up. My parents were there. It was kind of neat. And, I had, the funny thing was at this golf course a couple years preceding, I had a one shot lead on the 18th hole, and I double bogeyed the 18th hole to lose by a shot. And so here I am 2 years later, I birdie 17. I'm standing on the 18th hole with a one shot lead. And this time I knocked it down the middle and made birdie and won by two and got into the Hall of Fame. So when you play golf long enough, the negative thoughts are always there because you've played a course over and over and, you know, oh, I remember bogeying it this year or whatever, but you kind of have to put that out of your head and just say, okay, it's not going to happen again. And but it was exciting. It's, I think, again, the tour's unique in that, in so that you have current players that are out on the course and they know when they win or get that next point, they're in. And so it makes it kind of fun and unique, but also a little nerve wracking too.
Oh yeah, for sure. I didn't realize that it was qualification, especially at that point based on wins. Yes, that would be nerve wracking. I mean, it's nerve wracking trying to get a win in general, but to know that, man, if I win this tournament, I'm in the Hall of Fame. It's honestly kind of weird a little bit. Yeah, it's like, whoa.
It was hard because, like, you'd finish anything but first, and the media's like, what happened? You know, or how long is it going to take? And I thought, oh, gosh, let me get in so I don't have to answer that. Literally the next week after I get in, the first question is, well, what took you so long? So you can't win with you guys sometimes. Us guys are a little bit mean. It was funny, though, but it was great. It was a great experience.
Great stuff. Well, let's talk about some stories from the road, right? And Kendall, I want to start with you, right? So you mentioned earlier, you know, maybe not on the road quite as much as you used to be, but, you know, give us maybe your best road trip story from your days out on the LPGA.
Oh my gosh, there's a million. I would say my rookie year was quite memorable. It took me a second to get on the LPGA tour, but 2015 is my rookie year. And I remember playing at the Kia Classic in San Diego. And I had already kind of had some friends out there, like the Angela Sanfords, the Dory Carters, Christy McPhersons, and they were tight with Drew Leinster, who was, other than Betsy, was like, she was on a pedestal to me. And they said, you want to go to dinner with her? Yeah, I do. Actually, I really do. So we show up and there's a limo and this whole shebang. And we have this little wine cork game where you have to hold the wine cork horizontally and you got to drop it on the table and then it's got to flip up. So I win the game, which was awesome. Then the next week I get to go and stay at her house in San Francisco and get to beat her in her own backyard on her own ping pong table. I asked Kari Webb, you know, can I please play a practice round with you? Got to play nine holes with her. Can really call on her now. the Meg Mallins, the Beth Daniels. I sought out these Hall of Famers. You know, I knew I could learn from them. And I think that they appreciate when a younger player reaches out, like, I need your expertise. And I remember I was struggling missing cuts by one often. And Meg Mallin and Beth Daniel walked out as far away from the clubhouse as they could during one of my pro-ams to meet me and walk in with me, which just meant the world. But, you know, I've had wonderful memories, crazy memories. That's what I'll take away is just the lifelong friendships. You know, the golf is the golf. But those friendships stay forever. So I will say, going back to Betsy's putting, I could always get a tee to green fine, but putting, I was streaky. If I was putting well, I watch out, but typically, okay, hit it close and two putt and carry on. So Betsy finally said, you're going to my coach to get a putting lesson. I'm paying for it. So I think that was in 2017 and I was en route to South Bend, Indiana. I'm almost positive. And Ed Oldfield was on the north side of Chicago. And this old crusty man, he's not the kindest either. You know, I show up and Betsy's out there, but she's kind of standing off to the side, giving us a little bit of space. And so he just, you know, wants me to start rolling some putts for him. And I'm thinking, okay, my mechanics, they look good. They probably look good. And after a few minutes, he goes, well, no wonder you can't putt. Your mechanics are blankety blank. Oh, okay. Blankety blank. Tell me what you know. So sure enough, I win the next week after listening to what Ed Oldfield had to say to me, but I don't think I ever gave him the review. I won, but I tell you what she does, I try to teach to others, because Betsy's mechanics are, you just never can bet against her. And she's the most competitive. And I would say just like the Beth Daniels and the Jew Linksters, they're crazy competitive. But when you think you finally got Betsy, you know, down a hole, she'll just can a 30 footer on you. And she also won't give you a foot putt either. Everything has to be putt out.
Putt it out. No gimmies. I love it. Yeah.
No gimmies whatsoever.
Hit the cup, baby. So. Hit the cup.
And then I will say another little story that Betsy, I've been a Golf Digest panelist since graduating OU back in 09. So that's always a passion of mine, the chase, right? To chase the top 100 that I can play as a female. And so Betsy has always known that I love great golf courses. And so she also has blessed me with some opportunities to play at Pine Valley and at Augusta. Back in 2018, I'll never forget sitting in that Delta Lounge in Salt Lake City when Betsy's like, so do you want to play Augusta? I'm like, are you asking me, or are you just thinking about asking me? Because I'm going to cry.
Don't tease me.
Don't tease me. So that was a phenomenal time back in 2018. So it's been just a dream come true to be able to call these Hall of Famers friends and mentors that I can really lean on.
Betsy, obviously being on the road, kind of back in your day, a little bit different maybe than what Kendall experienced. You got a good road trip story for us?
Well, I was trying to think, you know, in my era, particularly starting out, we didn't make this big money. And so we used to stay, well, we were able to travel a lot by car because we weren't on TV every week. So the tournaments were just put together logistically. And, you know, we traveled, we played more events in the U.S. and not as much internationally. So most people had their car on the road. And like we'd start out in Florida, have four events. You'd have your caddy drive your car out to the West Coast and you'd fly. And then you'd have your car out there for 10 weeks. But one year I was staying with one of the other players and it was a new event. It was in San Jose and we were in California and we were going to stay in housing, private housing. The tournament would supply it for you every week and you could choose to stay with a family. And it was a great way to meet people and you saved money. You didn't have to stay in a hotel. So we had called this couple and they said, yeah, come on over. And this was before cell phones. So we had to stop, you know, somewhere to call. So we get to the house, we ring the doorbell, nobody answers. I'm with the other player. And then I go, well, maybe they forgot we were coming. And I said, look, the kitchen window looks like it's open. Let's just crawl through the kitchen window. And looking back, why did we do that? I had never met these people. And I'm, you know, hopefully it's the right house. But so we crawl through the kitchen window. And then we hear a noise in the house, and I go, oh my gosh, we better go out. We went back out the kitchen window. We went down the road again and called again from a payphone. It turned out they were there, but they never heard us at the front door. But I, looking back, why did I like break into these people's home? And I wasn't thinking, you know, at the time. But, and then another time, I'd won a tournament in Hawaii. Then we flew to Australia for the next tournament, and then we were coming back to Hawaii. So we come back to Hawaii, and we arrive like at 10 o'clock at night into Honolulu, and we have a connection the next day at 7 a.m. to fly over to the Big Island for the next tournament. So we said, oh, we're not going to get a hotel room. We're only here for like, you know, 6-7 hours. So there were a bunch of us. We just slept on the floor in the Honolulu airport overnight. And, you know, people think of God, they were in these glamorous situations. And here we are, there were about 20 of us were sleeping on the floor in the Honolulu airport. And my caddy, he had a blow up mattress with him. Cause some of the caddies, they do that cause they'll room, you know, four guys in a room, there's only two beds. So they'll be on the floor. And, you know, everybody was giving me a hard time because my caddy, he took the mattress and made me sleep on the floor. So anyhow, it just, you get in situations like that where, you know, you're staying, you know, sleeping on the floor of the airport, or particularly, you know, with air travel or many times. One time we were flying to England for an event, and there was a group of us, and we were on a 747 out of Montreal. They come on the plane, like 2 or 3 hours in the flight, they go, well, we've lost an engine and we've already turned around because we were less than halfway. We're landing in JFK in like 45 minutes. So we land in JFK. And the next morning they put us all onto the Concorde to fly to London, you know, the players that were on this flight. So I got to fly in the Concorde, you know, three times and, you know, without having to pay for it, that's the best way. And,
yeah, no doubt.
So anyway, so you get a lot of neat travel experiences, you know, good and bad. Or just you look back and they're pretty funny. But anyhow, that's all I could think of right now.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Well, ladies, we know that you've got another call, another thing going on here in a little bit. And so we're going to get you out of here with this. Betsy, we played this game with Kendall last summer whenever she was on the podcast, but we always like to play a Q&A game with our interviewees called the Short Par 4. And so Till and I, we're going to go alt shot. We're going to ask you a few questions, golf, life in general, and we'll just kind of go rapid fire here. But I'll tee it up here on the Short Par 4. Tell us about your last round of golf, Betsy.
My last round of golf was in Florida last year. I believe it actually trumped Jupiter with one of our Golf for Africa donors. And the reason I haven't played is literally the next day, I was staying at my brother's house in Florida, Stuart, Florida, and I slipped and fell and broke my femur. I've had a bunch of surgeries on my leg because I messed up my knee playing those other sports in college. But so I haven't played since that day. I've been hitting balls lately, but I haven't played another round. So that's been my last round, was Trump Jupiter.
A memorable round for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember it because
exactly.
You got hurt afterwards. But all right. So second shot on the short par four. I want to know what golfer, either current, former, gets under your skin the most.
That I don't like, or just
as a nice way of saying that, yes.
Well, I think I'm going to say a group right now, and it's the LIV golfers.
Okay,
good answer.
That really bothers me. I'm a traditionalist, and for a number of reasons. And probably the biggest one would be if they had just come out and said, you know, I'm going to go to this tour because the money's unbelievable. And then I don't plan on coming back to try to play back on the PGA Tour or the European Tour, whichever, where they came from. And, you know, I'm doing it for the money. I would have a lot more respect than, you know, they say I'm doing it to be at home with my family, or we want to grow the game. And then yet they want to come back and, oh, we hate the PGA Tour, but now we want to be able to come back and play when we want. That just really bothers me.
Good answer. Well, Betsy, you've been fortunate enough. You've played golf courses all over the world, you know, some of the greatest golf courses ever. So the question, birdie putt here on the short par four, if you only get to play one more golf course, well, which course would it be? And again, has the caveat being that it has to be a course you've played before.
I would probably say Redding Country Club, which nobody knows, but that's the very first course I played growing up. And it is a little classic course. It was built in the 1920s. And at one time, Byron Nelson was the pro at that country club.
Cool.
Wow. And anyway, when I got to beat Byron Nelson, when I first was on tour, I got to talk about that. You know, I said, I heard how you used to practice at so much at the Redding Country Club. And it was neat to be able to share that. But it's not like it's a tremendous golf course. It's since now, it was a private club when I was growing up. It's now a public golf course. It was taken over by the township, and it's still in operation, but that would be the one.
Awesome. Tapping in for par here on the short par four, we're going to make a movie about the golf life of Betsy King. This is an interesting question for you, because we always ask it as, what famous golfer is going to play you in the movie? Well, you are the famous golfer. So we'll go, what actress is going to play you in the movie?
Oh my gosh. And I'm not good because I don't watch a ton of movies today. You know, guys, I'm kind of old. So I could tell you who I, and that she wouldn't be the one, but I really loved, I liked Julie Andrews a lot when I was growing up.
Okay.
And because I love music, and you know, The Sound of Music was big when I was growing up, and Mary Poppins, and so Julie Andrews.
All right, now I'm gonna put you on the spot. You want to sing for us right here, Betsy, since we're on air?
No, I didn't say I could sing, but I love it. I did play an instrument. My dream job would be to be the lead in a musical and a Broadway show. That would be my dream job.
That's awesome. Well, ladies, again, you've been gracious with your time. We've probably taken up a little bit more than what we told you we would, so we'll get you out of here on this. But again, golfforafrica.org, right? And that's F-O-R-E. Big event coming up here in Oklahoma City in just a few short weeks. Betsy, we look forward to meeting you in person out there. And Kendall, look forward to seeing you again, because we'll be out there and looking forward to having a good time and doing it all for a very good cause.
Thank you for your support. We truly appreciate it. Happy to have y'all.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Really enjoyed doing it. Thank you.
Absolutely, ladies. We'll see you soon. Take care. Oh, man, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it, Till?
Did not disappoint. Knew it would be a good one. I would quote Kendall leading into this interview. She said Betsy has, and I quote, stories for days. Obviously, we just skimmed the surface there on where we could have gone. But really appreciate Betsy and Kendall coming on with us. As we mentioned in the pod, we will be on site during the 405 Classic, particularly that morning of the 17th. We will be out on the driving range where that clinic is happening, and so we will bring you plenty of coverage from it, for sure.
You're going to be giving pointers out there on the driving range, right?
They didn't mention that. Third person giving the clinic. More of kind of a what not to do, I think, and then we'll hand it over to Dame Laura.
Yeah, I'm gonna be starstruck. I'm going to be taking pictures and getting autographs. So that's my role. You're going to be doing the work and actually helping some folks out there. But yeah, really looking forward to that. Again, October 16th, 17th. Go to their website, golfforafrica.org. Again, that's F-O-R-E, right? Go up to the top of the page. You'll see an events link. You'll see all the sign-up sheets, all the flyers associated with the 405 Classic, the Oklahoma City event. And again, if you're listening to this outside of the Oklahoma area, they have events going on year-round. Another big event coming up in Scottsdale in December. So get involved. Again, great people and a very amazing cause as well.
100%.
Well, Till, plugs for us, man. So throw them out there, bud.
Yeah, if you want to get at that coverage of the LPGA 405 Classic, at YSO Golf is where you're going to see that, both on Twitter and Instagram, whether it be quotes from some of the participants or maybe posting a snippet of audio or two. That is where you're going to find it, along with photos for the day on our Instagram page.
Yep, looking forward to that. And of course, for us here at the Sports Pros Network, you can check us out on the web at fantasysportspros.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at sports_pros. And remember, that is pros with an E, P-R-O-S-E. Well, Till, we've got a tee time to go to, don't we?
As always, it's time to get out there and play some golf, buddy. Looking forward to that one.
Get out there and enjoy the walk.